G'day, Groovers. Welcome to another instalment of the U Project for the 352nd time. Craig Anthony Harper, am I right?
353rd time.
353rd time?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, well, Bobby was 352.
Oh. I stand corrected, but that's not the first time, and it won't be the last time I've been corrected today, folks. It's the story of my life is Bossy Pants over there. The ginger ninja just kicking me in the dick on an hourly basis, correcting me, putting me back on the straight and narrow and fixing my fuck-ups. She basically runs behind me just fixing up the mayhem and the destruction that I cause. Thank goodness that there's a grown-up in this business, because if it was up to me, there would be no business. Hello.
Hello. That is so not true.
It is so true.
It's not.
It is. I don't even open that door.
The part about me being bossy is true.
I'm good at two things, writing and talking. That is it. You're good at all the other things that actually make the business. You know that. The listeners know that. Anyway, here we are, the U Project. When did we do our first ever episode? Like what? So what are we now? Hang on, I know this is a dumb place. I'm just thinking though. So it's 24th today we're recording this. Goes up tomorrow, the 25th of Jan. Do you remember, like without looking it up?
I feel like it was definitely summertime. I feel like it was around December, January. I want to say, so January 2017? Does that sound right? Of this show?
Would
it 2016?
No. That was 5 years ago.
Ah.
I'm going to go 18.
Okay.
I'm going to go 2018, 3 years ago.
Right. That sounds about right. But I feel like it was summery.
If it was 5 years ago, you would have only been 17.
And I feel like we started with like one episode a week, or that was the intention. It was really like one episode a fortnight at times.
Well, I remember we did a few episodes, then we did none for like 3 or 4 weeks. We weren't really giving it a good red hot crack.
Yeah.
I think it was around summer, because anyway, here we are, 4 a week. And for those of you who don't follow me on social media, one, what are you doing? Come on, get on. Whiteboard Lessons. I'm sure you know that. At Whiteboard Lessons on Instagram, and just me on Facebook. But we're going to, as much as we can, news update, as much as we can. Can you get some sound effects so I don't have to do that?
That was just too good.
Breaking news. What are we doing? God. Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 0500 Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. But that'll change soonish, not that soon, 6 weeks or something. But in other words, Melbourne-ish time, Sydney time, Hobart time. All the podcasts will go live Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday at 5 o'clock in the morning. Is that right?
Correct.
Did I fuck that up?
No, that is right. That's right. Yeah. And as you said, in April, that'll change to standard time.
And the other thing, just while we're doing updates, is I'm running a program or a seminar, online seminar, workshop, whatever the fuck you want to call it, 3 hours of me talking, let's call it that, which is called The Body Project, which is on February 1, 7 till 10 p.m. It's a Monday. Is it a Monday or a Sunday?
Correct. Yeah, it's a Monday night.
It's a Monday. You can go to my website, which is craigharper.net, and book in. And if you need to, if you want to, if you don't want to, completely get it. But feel free to have a little bit of a perusal of that and see what it's about. If you've been going around in circles with your body, your food, your inspiration, your motivation, your commitment, your results for a very long time, it might be of value. Dare I say it will be of value to you if you show up and if you apply some of the stuff. But anyway, have a look at the website. The other thing we've got coming up, and you're putting up your hand because you want to boss me around. She said to me before that podcast, folks, she goes, now if I put up my hand, I want to talk like I'm fucking eight. She needs to tell me that. That's all right. She put up her hand. All right, you put up your hand. Come on, say it. Tell me.
All I was going to say was, for people listening, either say, mate, you might be in Perth, you might be in New Zealand, you might be in the UK. If you're in a different time zone and you're thinking, I really want to do that workshop, but I'm not going to stay up until or the app in the middle of the night or something like that. It will be recorded or available on demand for the week following the session. Same with this program that you're about to talk about. Both of them are recorded and accessible afterwards if you can't make the actual event live.
Yes. And by the way, if you hate us talking about the shit we've got coming up, just fast forward through this bit. And the other thing we've got coming up, we've got the mentoring program, which is called the You Project Mentoring Program, which is starting Feb 15, going to May 3, Monday nights, also 8 till 10, and it's 12 weeks. So we're a bit excited about that. That kicks off very soon. All the details on the site. All righty. Episode number 353, ready, set, go. Melissa, you start off. I'll just sit back here. So, just kidding. So I wanted to... I spoke to a few people yesterday, and this was the catalyst, this was the impetus, the genesis of this conversation. Now, this is a topic, this may be the topic that has gotten the most mileage from me over the years. So for some of you who don't want to hear me talk about motivation, I don't blame you. There'll be a few different things in here if you've heard me talk about it a million times and you completely get it. So I'll see you next podcast. Thanks for coming. All the best. Some of you who go, I wouldn't mind a bit of a refresher, stick around. And for those of you who have not really heard me talk too much in depth about the role of motivation, its value or lack of value, then this will be good for you. If you're a trainer, if you're a coach, if you're a mentor, if you're an EP, if you're someone who works with teams in any leadership role, management role, supervisory role, I believe that understanding this topic, this subject matter, understanding this emotion that we call motivation, I guess motivation is interchangeable with inspiration, semantics really, but understanding how motivation works and its role and its value and how we can leverage from it and maximize it is really important. And not only for us as, teachers, parents, friends, mentors, role models, coaches, etc., but also for us internally. So for me to understand how the emotional state of motivation works for me optimally and its value and how I can maximize it and what I can do when I don't have any of it. So feel free to interrupt, Melissa. So here's what I'm going to start with. I'm going to start with the idea or the story of motivation. So there's, like, a lot of people say to me, or they don't even say to me, are you? They call me a motivational speaker, and I get labeled a motivational speaker. I get work as a motivational, or I get work because people think I'm going to come in and motivate and inspire their team. Or their organization or their group. I get that, and I'm really glad for that. And so in a way, that label has served me. But I'm very quick once I get in front of a group to dispel the myth of motivation. And the myth of motivation is essentially, in some shape or form, that motivation is the key to changing your life. So I'm going to say that from where I've been and what I've seen, motivation is not the key to changing your life. But before we go deep on that, let's talk about what motivation is and what motivation isn't. So in an academic sense, in a science sense, in a research sense, when we talk about motivation, we are generally talking about that word is almost analogous to or interchangeable with the word reason. So we would say Melissa's motivation for getting up early today was she needed to get this work done by 9 o'clock to get that to the post office, to send those things, to reply to those emails. So her motivation for getting up at 5 a.m. was to tick these boxes, cross those T's, dot those I's, get that done. We could also say her reason for getting up at 5 o'clock was blah, 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 right? So that's in the really kind of almost the academic construct of motivation. Now, for me, I want to talk about the other type of motivation that is more relevant to, familiar to, and I guess important for this conversation. And that is the feeling, the mindset, the emotion of motivation, that is how excited, how focused, how intense, am I about this thing? So often when people talk about their level of motivation, they're talking about their feeling, they're talking about their emotions, they're talking about the state that they're in, they're talking about something along the lines of I watched something, I saw something, I encountered something, and now I am motivated, which means now I am in a different state, or Christmas is coming, New Year's coming, I'm motivated, I'm excited, I'm inspired, I'm in the zone, I'm pumped, I'm focused, blah, blah, blah. So generally when we talk about motivation, we're talking about how we feel, how excited we are, and how ready we are to do the work. And that, so that construct of motivation is great because it's certainly part of the how do I change and stay changed process. The limitation of motivation, however, is that in the context of this conversation is that it's a temporary emotion or it's a temporary feeling. And that goes and that comes and that goes. And it's short term and it's not long lasting. So in terms of the emotional state that is being motivated, I am motivated. The normal human experience, it's not bad, it's not weak, it's not flawed, it's not problematic, it's just normal. The normal human experience around motivation is I go through peaks and troughs. I am motivated sometimes. I am demotivated other times. Sometimes I'm a bit motivated. Sometimes I'm highly motivated. Sometimes I'm really motivated to go for a run and do some push-ups and go to the gym and hustle and grind and fucking get big and massive and lean and ripped and sexy or whatever my goal is. But I'm definitely not motivated to clean that fucking room that's been there, that spare room that's full of junk that's been fucking hanging heavy over my head for 3 years and I don't know where the fuck to start, right? So motivation comes in different kind of versions. But today I'm talking about the emotional state of motivation. I am motivated. I am inspired. I'm excited. I'm talking about that. So the value is that generally motivation is the spark that lights the fire. It is generally the thing that, or it is often the thing that gets us started. It creates emotional, psychological, and behavioral momentum. And a really obvious and classic example of that is for whatever reason, and we've gone over this a million times, we won't go over the mechanics and the logistics and the value of resolutions and New Year's resolutions again. We'll just talk a little bit about the psychology of it. We know that a lot of us anyway, have a story that, you know, the day that I'm going to start something is Monday. The day that I'm going to start something is a new month or a new year. And so we see a lot of people who are very motivated and inspired around January 1. And the reason that they're motivated and inspired partly is because they have a story, and the story is this is a new year, this is a new day, this is a new time, this is a new opportunity, and so on and so on. And so they go into the new year where they are in this state of arousal, this heightened sense of excitement and focus and energy. And they go into the new year and they go for a run and they eat less shit and they move their body and they do this and they do that. And then they're a week or two in, they're back at work now and it's a bit hard to get up so early, so I'll do it tonight. And then I'm driving home from work and I'm a bit fucked. I might give tonight a miss, but I'll do it in the morning. The alarm goes tomorrow and then it's March. And so what we did was we got inspired and motivated for 2 weeks and over a period of time, and this doesn't always happen, but it happens a lot, is the motivation, the excitement, that emotional state that got us started gradually wanes. So then the question is, what's the value? And the value of motivation while it's there is high, and it's a really powerful force and a compelling force. But then the question is, so what happens when the motivation goes? What happens when that excitement and that enthusiasm and that energy that comes with motivation, what happens when for whatever reason, whether it's a week, a month, 3 months, what happens when that feeling goes away? So the question, the next question is it possible for me, in the absence of motivation, in inverted commas, in the absence of that feeling, in the absence of that energy, is it possible for me to keep doing what's required to maintain focus and intention and momentum and productivity and efficiency and clarity and outcome? Is it possible? And the answer to that is yes. So how do we do that? So one of the, by the way, this is not an anti-motivation chat. This motivation's fucking amazing, but it's temporary. And that's what we're talking about. So what happens then? So yesterday I was talking to somebody who said to me, and I've had been asked this question a million times. They asked me how old I am, and they asked me a lot of the things that I get asked typically: how old are you? How often do you train? When did you start training? Blah, blah, blah. Inevitably, this question comes is, how on earth do you stay motivated? How do you stay that motivated to keep doing that stuff? And the answer is, in terms of what you're talking about, how do I stay motivated, excited, pumped, in the zone? I don't. And the reason I don't is because I'm human. And the reason I don't is because, like everybody else, there are days when I'm really excited to train and days where I don't want to train, or I don't feel like it, or I can't be fucked, or I'm busy, or my back's sore, or my mind's somewhere else. But the difference between me, you know, when I was the young kid just starting out, and me now, is that because I've got, you know, decades and decades of training and decades of conditioning and decades of certain behavior under my belt, those behaviors that serve me, exercise, eating well, lifestyle choices and behaviors, those kind of things that serve me well are now hardwired into my subconscious. So they are part of my normal operating system. So the challenge for us is, there are a few, Melissa, interrupt me if you need to, but I do realize, after I told you to be chatty that I'm now doing a fucking monologue, but feel free. The challenge for us is to be okay with our peaks and troughs. If you go through periods where you're really motivated, really demotivated, times where you're really excited, times where you couldn't be fucked, times when you're really busy, times when you've got more time available, times when your back's a bit sore, times when you've got no injuries, times when you're really feeling it, times where you're not feeling it. The challenge for us, if we say that health, wellness, fitness, exercise, good eating, if we say that those things are core values and they are priorities, the challenge for us is, in the middle of all the messiness and peaks and troughs of being human, to be able to maintain the momentum. In other words, to keep doing the things that work for us based on who we want to be, how we want to be, how we want to live. And when I say how we want to live and who we want to be, I'm talking about around our body, around our health, around our wellness, around our fitness, around our nutrition. Or it could even be around our relationships, around our business, around our faith, around the way that we worship or meditate. You know, one of the challenges for me, and I'm still there in the middle of this challenge, I'll tell you something that's not hardwired for me, that's a work in progress, is meditation. I meditate like most people get in shape, spasmodically. Right. So I'm putting up my hand going, this is not something. So right now for me, meditation as a practice is not hardwired. It should be. I want it to be. And I'm working at it and I'm getting better at it and I'm more consistent. But is it autopilot for me? It's not autopilot. It's not autopilot. I'm still working on it. And so for a lot of us, there's that behavior that's a sometimes behavior, and whether or not that's moving our body, running, lifting weights, eating well, meditating, being in nature, whatever it is, there's that behavior that is a sometimes behavior that we recognize needs to be an all the time behavior. It needs to be a non-negotiable. This needs to be something that I do, the end. I just do it. I don't do it when I'm pumped. I don't do it when I'm excited. I don't do it when it's Monday. I don't do it when it's January 1. I don't do it because I'm getting applause or recognition or acceptance or approval or a medal or a ribbon. I just do it. I do it because this is how I operate. So the truth is, for me, back to the thing of, Craig, how do you stay motivated? The answer is, I don't stay motivated, but I don't need to. And the reason I don't need to is because when a behavior typically a behavior that works for you, a behavior that is aligned with your values, a behavior that is aligned with your purpose and your truth and your goals. When that thing has now been hardwired into your normal operating system, which lives in your subconscious, not the conscious, but that stuff that gets programmed into your subconscious, now this is you on autopilot. For me to exercise every day requires no discipline, no willpower, no inspiration, no motivation. It just requires a gym that has its doors open. Or it requires me to be able to put on my runners and go for a run or go to the beach or do some body weight exercises in the front yard or whatever it is. So that need to be motivated, that need to find inspiration, that need to be really, really disciplined or to have amazing self-control, eventually that passes because now this is the thing that you do naturally. This is not the thing that you do forcefully or consciously. This is now a thing that's just hardwired into your unconscious and subconscious. So now this is you being you. Me working out, me eating the way, and by the way, I'm not the high watermark and I'm not recommending anyone be like me and there's no ego in this. I'm just talking about literally about habit creation. I'm literally talking about behavior and how we can weave these ideal and positive behaviors that we've identified into our life. So now they become an autopilot component of our existence rather than something that we do when we're in the zone or when we're being cheered on or when it's January 1, as I said before. And this is the challenge. So where do we start? Thanks for asking. So what I want you to do, if what I'm saying resonates with you and you see or hear some of yourself in what I'm saying, there's a really simple process. And that is, well, it's simple theoretically. It's, remember, sometimes the simple things are the hard things to execute. So conceptually, it's simple, but it's going to take some work and effort and maybe some discomfort for you to execute. So if there are things that you are currently doing, it doesn't matter whether it's with your health or whether it's your business or your study or your relationships, but some component of your existence. What I want you to do, if you want to do this little process with me, what I want you to do is I want you to recognize or identify things that you are not doing. So for me, that might be meditation. Things that you are not doing consistently that you believe you should do consistently because it's going to make you or your life or both better. So that might be anything from spending 30 minutes a day with your kids, or it might be reading 30 minutes a day, or it might be enrolling in a course, or it might be getting to the gym 3 times a week, or it might be not drinking 5 days a week, or it doesn't matter what it is. It's a behavior that for you is meaningful. So you identify that thing that needs to change, that current habit that doesn't work, that current trajectory that doesn't work, those current results that aren't working for you. You put on your big boy pants, your big girl pants, you be really brave and you go, right, this is not me self-loathing. This is me being honest. This is self-awareness. This is me stepping out of the bullshit and going, you know what? I've almost been getting in shape for fucking years. I've almost been addressing this problem for years. I've almost been doing this thing forever. And I'm constantly telling myself a story about why now's not the time. I'm always rationalizing. I'm always justifying. And in a minute, I'm going to be 5 years older. And that just happens. And for some of you, that's happened 5 times already. So nothing changes in our world. Nothing changes in our experience of the world, I should say. Nothing changes unless we do the work to create the change. We're not going to accidentally end up with a fucking awesome life. We're not going to accidentally succeed. We're not going to accidentally build resilience and become powerful and confident. We're not going to accidentally do things. We need to consciously do these things and we need to stay the course irrespective of those peaks and troughs of motivation. So identify those things that for you need to be all the time behaviors. I would suggest that you start with a few. Experience tells me that the more things we try and change at once, the less we'll change at all. So it might be three things. It might be one or two. It might be five. You might say, you know what? I'm going to chuck white bread out of my diet. You know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to read a book 30 minutes a day. You know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to meditate, or I'm going to whatever it is. Identify those things that for you need to be part of your normal operating system, not the things that you do when you're in the zone. Maybe you do them when you're in the zone, but also you are able to do them when you're out of the zone. So what we're doing is we're identifying the habits that for us need to be permanent, or the behaviors that for us need to be permanent. So we start with, all right, so I realize that. So if I was fair dinkum about meditation, for example, let's pick on me. What I would do is I would create structure, some rules, some organization, and some accountability. I would say, you know what, Melissa, I'm going to do 15 minutes a day. And every day, I want you to check in on me. The last time that we chat each day, I want you to ask me if I have done my meditation. So what am I doing straight away? Then I'm creating an accountability process. What am I doing when I put a number on it? All right, well, I'm creating something definitive. What am I doing when I talk about it on the podcast like this? I'm making a public declaration. By the way, I'm going to do, I realize as I go now, I need to fucking do this. All right, so I'm going to do this. I'll do it today and I'll do it every day. But you can check with me on podcast and see, and I'll be honest, if I haven't done it, I'll tell you. But by the way, will you fuck up? Have I fucked up many times? Have I started and stopped things? Of course. I spent many years getting in and out of shape. So there's no need to self-loathe, but let's just be honest and real, and let's maybe not spend the next 5 years starting and stopping and going around in circles. So identify those behaviors that need to be non-negotiable for you. Create some, what we do is we take the emotion, the excitement, the motivation of that thing that we want to do, and then we wrap some strategy and some logic and some process and some accountability around that. So for example, if you get really excited to work out, and you're inspired to train, you're inspired to move your body, you're inspired to lose some weight or build some muscle or get healthier or more functional, and you've been in that same space 25 times, and what happened the last 25 times was you did it until you stopped doing it. And you might have done it for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, or 3 months. And then something happened. You told yourself a story. You hurt your toe, it got cold, work got busy, something happened. And eventually what we do, all of us, is we rationalize why we're stopping. Yeah, look, I've got a bit on, so I'll pick it up next Monday. And then next Monday becomes June. And then June becomes the next year. So it's checking our stories. So yesterday I posted a picture, and it's on at Whiteboard Lessons, if you want to see it, of John, who I've been training, and some of you have heard about him and some of you have never seen him. And I put up a picture yesterday, and I won't go over his story, but he was horrendously injured, meant to die. He didn't die. Then he was meant to be a quadriplegic, then a paraplegic, and so on and so on and so on. And, you know, these days he still has constant pain, but the guy who was never meant to walk, now he walks with sticks. He was never meant to drive. He was never meant to have any quality of life or any level of normal function. Well, he has has much closer to normal function than anyone ever imagined. He's walking with sticks. He's out of a wheelchair for the most part. And he's driving his car, and he has a level of independence and function that nobody thought he would ever have, other than a few people that really had faith and love in him. And that's no diss to the medical community, because his body was completely fucked. And logically and medically, there's no reason why he should be where he is, right? Now, I know, because I work with him, I know there are days where he does not feel like coming, where his motivation is not through the roof, it's through the floor. Because he is in pain, because he hasn't slept, because he's a bit anxious, he's a bit depressed, his life is a bit fucked at times. But every time, for 3 years, every time that he has an appointment, every time he turns up, and every time he works well, and every time he pushes for what he can do on that day, despite how he's feeling, despite his level of motivation. If his motivation is a 1 or a 9, he gets there. And one of the reasons that he gets there is because there's no safety net for him. There's no get out of jail card for him. He never gives himself an escape clause. He knows that I'm waiting for him. And so he has a commitment. He has a commitment that there's this person that loves me, that's training me, that cares for me, that's waiting for me. And so missing sessions, not an option. Not an option. Now imagine if you had that mindset with your body that's far less broken and you went, not so much I'm letting someone else down. Maybe you are if you find yourself a training partner, certainly a good idea sometimes, but I'm letting me down. We're happy to let ourselves down, but we don't want to let other people down. But the thing is, when you make a promise or you make a commitment or you set a goal and you've set that goal 35 times and here you are again, you're not letting anyone down, you're letting you down. And so the challenge for us is how do I keep doing what works when I don't want to? And part of that is getting clear on our non-negotiables, but also part of that is being able to, in the moment, listen to me, this is really important, in the moment, identify that point where I'm about to throw it in, because everyone gets to that point. We're about to start to rationalize. We're about to start to tell ourselves a story about why I'm not doing it today. And then a day becomes a week and a week becomes a month. And then sometime down the track, we start again. Our ability to be able to be resilient in the middle of those moments when we want to give up is what separates us now from us prior. Your ability to delay gratification. I'm not going to eat this. I feel like it. It's in front of me. It'll give me instant pleasure. Nobody's watching. No one will know. I can eat this shit. I can eat this shit. It's right there. No one will know. And I'll get back on track tomorrow and blah. You know that's bullshit. You know it's bullshit, but you lie to yourself because I've done it. We all lie to ourselves. I don't think I can train today. Look, of course, there are legitimate times when we can't train. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the self-talk, the bullshit. I'm not motivated today. I'm not going. I don't give a fuck if you're not motivated. Imagine if you had no option. John doesn't have an option. John, well, technically he has an option, but in his mind, he doesn't have an option. Because you know what? He doesn't want to be the broken human in the wheelchair. There's nothing in his mind, I can tell you, that says me working out is optional. Because if him working out was dependent on him feeling good, he would never come. Do you know why? Because he is in constant pain. He's in pain 24 hours a day. And yes, the volume goes up and down, and sometimes it's a 2 or 3, and sometimes it's a 9. But he's never pain-free. Imagine living in a body that's never pain-free. And then you choose to go to the gym and you choose to put your body through more pain with me in order to improve function. So that emotional state of motivation that we started out this dialogue with, it's redundant with him. It's redundant. If he happens to be more motivated sometimes, great. But what he is, more than that temporary emotional state, he's in this permanent psychological state of complete commitment. Because when I am, when you are, when he is completely mentally, cognitively invested in something, this is my total commitment, this behavior, this process, this path, this protocol, this ideology, this way of being, this way of living. When I am fully fucking committed to that, when you listening to this, when you are fully fucking committed to the path and not the excuses and not the bullshit, not the rationalizing and not the story, then you're going to fucking blow your own socks off. Because what gets in the way is not potential. What gets in the way is not motivation or lack of motivation. What gets in the way is our bullshit. What gets in the way is our stories. What gets in the way is our rationalizing and justifying the giving up, the throwing in the towel. oh, but you don't understand my bum, my back, my leg. You don't understand my life. You don't understand my pain. I'm not being disrespectful. And some of you have had it really hard, and I respect that. And that's why I'm here doing these podcasts, because I love people. And yes, you've been through pain, and yes, you've been through shit, and yes, life's uncertain, and yes, life is unfair. But guess what? That's everyone. That's everyone to a level. And in the middle of the uncertainty and the discomfort and the pain and the bullshit, nobody's going to come and save you. Nobody's going to go for a run for you. Nobody's going to do a push-up for you. Nobody's going to eat food for you. Nobody's going to have self-control for you. Nobody's going to choose a good attitude for you. Nobody's going to react well for you. Nobody's going to use your potential optimally except you. We all have challenges. We all have reasons. We all have barriers. We all have mental and emotional pain. We all have stories. We all have a history. We all have limitations. And I'm in the middle of all of that all of the time. Even when I'm teaching and coaching like I am right now, I'm still well aware of my bullshit. I'm still well aware that I have so much to work on. I'm still aware that I'm flawed and limited. But in the middle of my flaws and my limitations and my tiredness and my sore back and my busy schedule and all the fucking minutiae of my life, I'm still grateful that I have a body that works. I'm still grateful that I can go to the gym. I'm still grateful that I live in this awesome country. I'm still grateful that I can sit on this microphone and talk to thousands of people and influence people and get love and connection and share some ideas and thoughts and inspiration. I'm so grateful for that. And so the challenge for you, I guess, today off the back of this is, what do I need to do to live the life I want to live? And how do I maintain the behavior, the momentum, the efficiency, the productivity, the outcomes? How do I maintain that when I'm not inspired and not motivated? And I know, you know, and here's the irony. I know some of you listening to this right now will be a little bit inspired and motivated. Not all of you, some of you. And some of you will get off this podcast and go, fuck, and you'll go and train like a beast and you'll do all this shit. And if you do, that's great and I'm proud of you. But what I care about, I don't care about what you do today or tomorrow, because you're inspired right now. And everybody's a fucking champion when they're inspired. Everybody's a fucking champion when they're motivated. Everyone's a champion when they've got the wind at their back. What I care about is the long term. What I care about is what you do in 2 months when you can't remember one word of this podcast. What I care about is what you do when it's not fun. What I care about is what you do when it's inconvenient, when it's uncomfortable, when it's painful, but it's right. It's right. What I care about is what you do when you can't be fucked. What I care about is what you do when it's when you're busy. What I care about is what you do when no one's cheering you on or supporting you. Because you know what? This always comes back to you. What you do with your body, what you do with your time, what you do with your genetics, what you do with your resources, what you do with your energy, what you do when you finish listening to this. You can go, you know what? That was podcast number 353. That was good. And by the way, you're not doing anything for me. And I've changed no lives. All I've done is influence people, hopefully. Or you can go, you know what? I had so many fucking light bulbs with what Harps was saying today. I didn't plan it to be today, but today's the day. And not today's the start of fucking 3 weeks and I'll cross my fingers and see how I go. No, today's the day where I changed the trajectory of my life. And guess what? I hadn't planned it and it's not comfortable. Oh, and it's making me a bit anxious and it's not what I thought I would do. But this is the point. It is inconvenient. If I said to you, who wants to be successful? Nobody wants to be a failure. You all want to be successful. Of course we do. What does that mean for you? What's your typical operating system up until this point in time listening to this? And does your typical operating system with food, with your body, with training, with relationships, with whatever, with self-talk, with your stories, does your typical operating system work? If it does, don't change it. If it doesn't, then you need to do something un-you. You need to recognize what you're doing that doesn't work. Don't get offended. Don't get sulky. Don't immerse yourself in self-pity. Just recognize what I'm doing, it doesn't work. I've had that revelation and realization 100 times in my life with 100 different components of my existence. Everything from business partnerships to personal relationships to quirky habits to my self-talk to the way I interacted with my dad. I got to a point where I went, the way I interact with my dad doesn't work and I'm the problem. I'm the problem. I completely changed the way that I interacted with my dad. I changed the nature of our relationship and the energy of our relationship, and it totally changed how we connect because I recognized what I was doing wasn't working. I recognized when I was a fat kid that what I did with my food wasn't working. I recognized the way that I approached business in some ways wasn't working. My leadership style wasn't working. The way that I dealt with grief wasn't working. The way that I navigated problems and challenges wasn't working. I needed a new system. That's why I'm so fucking passionate about personal growth. That's why I'm so passionate about learning. Because this is meant to be, in my opinion, a conscious journey, a conscious path that we choose and create, not some unconscious ride where we wake up in a minute and life has basically been running the show. Where I just end up in this place. I go, fuck, well, look at my body now, look at my life now, look at my marriage now, look at my career, look at my bank balance. How did this happen to me? No, motherfucker, it didn't happen to you. It didn't happen to you. Fucking you're the constant. You're a grown-up. You can think, you can make decisions, you can change behavior, you can be resilient. You. Stop looking everywhere else. You. Look in the mirror. Oh, that is it, Melissa. Wow. I didn't need you. I thought I would need you to interrupt everyone. I love you. I hope that you do something with that. I did get on my high horse, but sometimes I think we need a little bit of love and a little bit of a kick in the dick at the same time. Melissa, you feel me? You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Right, everyone, go and be amazing. No pressure. No pressure, but start the fuck today. Love you guts.